Brother Olivier needs no introduction to our church. He has been a blessing to us through the years, and he and his wife have a tremendous ministry with Heartland Baptist Missions. They have been involved in as field representatives now for almost 10 years now, and the Lord's using them in a very mighty way as they lead the candidate school each year, as they're involved with encouraging their missionaries all around the world. And we support their ministry. We appreciate so much them taking on Josh and Marta Valkersell. And so, brother, would you come and share what the Lord has laid on your heart?
Thank you, Pastor.
Thank you, brother.
Appreciate it. Thank you so much.
If you have your Bible this morning, we'll turn in the book of Psalm. Book of Psalm. Chapter or Psalm 100. 100. Since we have a little time and they promised me lunch after, I want to make sure we get right on. So I took a psalm with five verses. That'd be all right? We're not going to do a long one today, all right? 74 years. Praise the Lord, right? Amen? 74 years. I cannot imagine that. I'm just 60. So 74, it's hard for me to fathom, you know. But 74 years. I did talk to couple of you this morning. They are in their 90s or so, and they told me they were there when this whole thing, you know, started. They were even before that, radio stuff and going on. So praise the Lord. Is there any here this morning that were part of the founders, the charter member? Is that what we call them? Charter members? Anybody such as? One?
I was 9 years old.
All right. I was not going to ask, but okay. Praise the Lord. Amen. Anybody after that? Maybe in the five first years of the church starting? Anybody? Yes. That's the second one. About 10 years. Yes. Here we go. 10, 15 years. So you've been here quite some time. Anybody joined the church like last year? Here you go. Now see, this is what I'm talking about. Continue. Amen. Praise the Lord. We're glad to have you all this morning. Again, we want to celebrate. So I was like, okay, Lord, what do you want to tell these people? They have been laboring for years and years and years. How can we encourage them? And he says, well, serve with gladness. I'm like, okay, they have been doing it for 75 years almost. 74 plus, you know. Serve with gladness. I would keep going back to that. I'm like, what about being thankful, Lord? Would that be a good thing? So we included being thankful. I'm like, how about praising you for it? Because, I mean, everything we do is for you, isn't it? So the title this morning is A Call to Thanksgiving, A Call to Praise, and A Call to Serve with Gladness. May the Lord this morning encourage you with his word and with this message. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we come before you. I want to thank you, Lord, for the opportunity, the privilege, the honor to be standing here this morning. But it's only going to be as good as you want it to be as if you have the preeminence in it and if we give you all the glory. And so 74 years, we want to give all the glory to you for your faithfulness throughout the years, for your mighty hand upon this ministry throughout the years, your leadership in guiding and leading them to do what they have done, to serve you, and to be part of what you have called them to do. I pray, Father, that this morning you would use this time as a celebration, as a time of worship, as a time of praise to you. Not to us, but to you, Lord, for what you have done throughout the years. We praise your name this morning. We sing praise unto you, and we pray to you. And this morning we want to hear from you. So would you do that work this morning? Meet with us here where two or three are gathered in your name. You told us that you would be in the midst. And so this morning we're honored. We want to give you all the praise and glory that you deserve. Would you receive it this morning? We ask in the wonderful and precious name of Christ. Amen. This passage that we're going to read with you this morning is a psalm of praise. Psalm 100, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing.
Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gate with thanksgiving, and into his court with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generation. I want to start with this psalm, which is actually a psalm that concludes a series of psalms. If you start with Psalm 91 and on, it seems like it's a series and want to look ahead of the advent of the coronation of the King, the Lord Jesus Christ. This is foretelling, it's forth looking, is looking forward. And you know what? What a better way for us to praise Him, to worship Him, to thank Him by looking forward to be with Him, to meet with Him. Amen? So this psalm is a true setting. Is in the Millennium Kingdom and during the reign of Christ, a time when we all, the world will be filled with righteousness, with His righteousness, and all men everywhere would exalt the name of the Lord. Think about it. Some people think that they are already past the millennium. They are post-millennial. Do you think we extol and we're putting God on the pedestal today in our world? What did Pastor said earlier about the world? What did he say? What kind of world we live in? Right? And yet, here we are told that there is coming a time when the whole world will praise God. Think about that. Think about that. They will put his name in reverence, in honor, in glory to him. A time when his praise will fill the earth as they should at all time, but the blessed time will be a time when the glory of Jesus will literally fill the earth. I can't wait for that. You know, when I read passages, when I read passages that depict the glory of God fill the temple, so much so that nobody could even get in the temple. Imagine the earth being filled with the glory of God. This is going to be a day, I'm telling you, thank God. You and I are saved, right? This morning, let's narrow down this one, make sure they are, right? That's the key here. You're saved this morning. If you are saved, would you, by a way of looking up here and looking at me, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand or do a dance or jump through loops, okay? But if you're saved this morning, you are part of that future being with God forevermore, being in the presence of God, being around the glory of God. There will be no need of light, of sun, the moon, those reflections, because the glory of God will lit up the place. But if you're not saved, you're not going to be there. So this morning, I mean, as much as I'm thinking, I'm preaching, teaching, telling you this morning, I believe most of you or all of you would be saved. I cannot take it for granted that maybe one or more would not. And as Pastor encouraged us already once or twice this morning, I want to encourage you that it's not too late to be saved, to come to know Christ as your personal Savior. See, when I was exposed to the Word of God and was exposed to the name of God, my wife, recently saved, turned around and started witnessing to me. And the first thing I did was to boo her away and shoot her away, kind of deals. I didn't want to hear that. And so it came to a point where I got jealous of what she was having and the peace she was getting and the change in her life. That I said to her, I'll be saved. I am saved. And of course, that was not true. And it's until it became personally important to me, personally vital to me, to come to Christ and ask Him to save me, that the change took place. Not before, not long after, when you ask, God moves in. Amen? There's a time where this personal reality kicks in. And you have a choice. I'm told there's two choices. I think there's only one, but there's two choices offered. You can either accept it or you can reject it. There's only one real choice, to take him as your Savior. Amen? Now, while these things and this time of this looking forward to the kingdom, if you want to be part of that, you have to be saved. There's no two way. There's only one way to God, and it's through Jesus Christ. Final. Amen? All right, so we're going to lighten up a little bit this thing, okay, this morning? While these things and the time and the future, there's still an application, I think, from this psalm for us today. And the, by the way, the psalm here, a psalm of praise, the way it starts, it's a shout. It's a shout. A psalm of shouting. This is going to be a public shouting. A praise to God. Unashamed. Amen? And I think we got to learn a little bit to... I'm not talking about being boisterous. I'm not talking about being out there and eccentric or whatever. No, no. I'm talking about in God, worshiping God, praising God. It's got to be visible. It's going to be vocal. It's going to be a shout. We carry out a tradition that is old in America since 1621. This Thanksgiving started, you know. And people have had... during difficult time, realize that they've survived, they've made it through. And in 1621, in December, after losing half of the people there, they decided to give God 3 days. 3 days! I dare us to take 3 days out of our busy schedule and give them to God. I dare us. Let's get together for 3 days. We'll close the door, have the food being brought in, and we stay here and just worship and pray and praise God for 3 days. Imagine that. That would be a revival pretty soon, I bet. Right? So the pilgrims said those 3 days, and in 1789, finally President George Washington proclaimed November 26th as your National Day of Thanksgiving unto the Lord. By the way, have you noticed, and I'm not neither Democrat, I'm French. I'm neither Democrat or Republican. I'm French, okay? But this morning, have you noticed a difference in between what was and what is? Huh? Just about the things of God. I'm not talking about the public, you know, thing, affair or whatnot, but just about the things of God. So we got a windows, folks, to be able to do what we are called to do, and we better use it for the glory of God. Amen? Thanksgiving. Finally, this was in response of God granting American independence from Britain in 1863. Abraham Lincoln revived the old tradition, rendering thanks unto the Lord. And finally, in 1941, the United States Congress decreed that the fourth first day in November was to be the National Day of Thanksgiving unto the Lord. Can I be blunt with you? We don't have that in France, okay? We do not have a Thanksgiving day unto the Lord in France. Most European countries don't have a day like that. But you as American have a day like that. Now, can I dare you to be thankful 365 days a year, 74 years in a row? Come on, folks. This is where it's at this morning, okay? I'm here to encourage you. I'm here to exhort you, to challenge you, to give you that little boost for the next 74 years if the Lord should tarry, all right? So for many in this day, I think family, we gather. And what is Thanksgiving? Most likely, we're going to get together. I've noticed the meals you guys put together for Thanksgiving. It is, wow, gargantuesque, if you know who that guy is. Huge. It's coma day after that, right? Most of us can sit in a recliner and can't do nothing else but sit in that recliner after, right? Some of us can manage to maybe watch a little football. Maybe. Most likely it's the football looking at us, right? Right. Well, again, I want to challenge us today in this that we should not wait just for November, the first November of every year, to be thankful to God. You have so much to be thankful for, so much to praise God with, so much to worship Him for because of what He has done. In truth, let's not be guilty of waiting every November. Amen? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18 says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." I'm afraid we're an ungrateful kind of people. Can we agree this morning? Very ungrateful. Not so much maybe here, but then you start looking around. Not maybe just in the church. We tend to encourage one another to be thankful, right? We praise together. We want to do those things. And so we offset a little bit. We're not very thankful, but we are a little bit thankful. But then you start looking around. You know, recently in the event of what happened, somebody went and shot a couple of kids in a church somewhere in some state, right? You've heard that news. A couple of kids, 8 and 10 years old, something like that. And then it was not even a day after this that the politician came on TV and the celebrities come on TV and they say, "We don't want your prayers and your thought." Now, that kind of people, how can they be thankful to God for anything? When the least prayers and thoughts, no, what a slap in the face of God. How do I get encouraged when I'm down? I pray. How do I get over the trials and I pray. People pray for me, you pray for me, I pray for you. On it goes, right? How can these people be thankful for anything to God when they don't even want God? I think this portion of Scripture gives us quite an inclination of how God wants us to be. I want to look at our entrance into His presence. We're not going to approach Him. Like I said this morning, He's not my pal. He is God. There's got to be a deference. There's got to be a reverence. There's got to be some kind of respectful way to approach God. I always said that. I said, look, if President so-and-so would walk in our life for some reason and we were to meet with him, man, we would put the best we have. Whatever that is, but we would put the best we have. We would wash, we would comb our hair, we'd brush our teeth, we'd get all ready, all excited, all nervous. And we expect to approach God, who created all things, who created man and woman, and approach Him in a more casual way. Our entrance into His presence. Psalm 22:3 says, "But Thou art holy, O Thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel." He wants us to inhabit the praise. He wants us to approach Him in a way that is so different than how the world wants to be approached. How many of us have, and you guys do sports here, so I can relate to that a little bit and use that as an example. How many of us have gone to a game and we're on the side and, man, we're jumping, we're screaming, we're yelling, we're encouraging them? I've seen parents being on the side of the kid when they do some of the testing, some of the exercise. They run faster than the kid. They shouldn't, but they run faster than the kid. And they encourage the kid along, right? There's some shouting. There's some happy time. There's some excitement, right? And God does deserve no less. Notice what He says in our passage here. "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye land." Make a joyful noise. What is a joyful noise to you? How can you make a joyful noise this morning? What would you say this morning? I would say to you, okay, this is God who is meeting with us this morning. Make a joyful noise. What would you do? But what I'm trying to get here across is that if really God is meeting with us, seriously speaking, if God is here this morning, and He tells us, make a joyful noise, what would be our response to that? I know we're independent. We're fundamental, right? Funny mental. So I totally get it. We don't want to get out of control. We don't want to lose control. We don't want to lose that. I totally get that. And I'm not saying we should. But I believe that he deserves a little bit more than just a passive presence. Amen? Wow, we're getting there.
It's coming.
He says, enter with shouting, make a joyful noise. Come from one Hebrew word, which means to shout, literally. To shout. Wow. You know? I think, so what can I relate it to? You know when they called the people to go to war? What did they do? They sound the trumpet. They had the herald going into the village and call them out. There was some shouting, folks. There was some loud screaming. Right? And I think the idea here is with regard to respect to the place, regard to respect to the person we're trying to make a joyful noise to, we're maybe just a little bit too passive. Not because we don't want to, but maybe because that has been stolen from us. I'll share as we progress in the message. Enter with service is really the second part of this passage here. We are challenged to serve the Lord with gladness. Again, gladness means joy, means cheer, means no bitter, no thought about, why am I doing this? Does he deserve, should I? No questioning, right? So we are to never allow the labor that we do for the Lord to become a drudgery, right? We are not to grow weary in well-doing, right? You're supposed to say amen every time I say right, just saying, okay? Just Galatians chapter 6, verse 9 says this, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. So it's gladness, cheer, shout. How are we doing this morning? The word gladness literally means mere or joy. That is, if we look upon our service to the Lord as a cause of rejoicing instead of seeing it as a chore, as an obligation, as a duty only. Amen? It's a privilege. It's an honor to serve. It's almost like you have to lose it to understand it, how important it is to us, what we have. When you start to go abroad, I think of Joshua and Martha. When they were here, we had a conversation about what they go through in Spain. And this is a religious country. Spain is very Catholic. It's engrossed in tradition, in rituals, in those things. And they do crazy stuff for that. And they had to come quietly to present the gospel in a world that is not receptive to the true worship, that is wanting signs and explosions and decorations and loud stuff that's boisterous and very visible and in your face. And God says, no, they've stolen this from me. They've taken what I want you to be and how you should be and what's going on with you and me. They've stole it and made it the world. And so we, as a reaction to that, have backed off way back. We're on the other side of the pendulum. They're doing it, so we can't do that. We're going to be associated with them, right? Amen. Amen. Thank you. Now he says, enter with singing. This word means ringing cry. Lifting our souls into the Lord through song in a tremendous way to bless his name and exalt him. In fact, every child of God ought to possess a song in his soul. When he saved you, did he give you a new tune? Did he give you a new song? The old stuff is passed away, right? We're a new creature. All things are passed away and all things become new, right? But I'm not anymore. Amazing Grace has been ringing in my heart and in my head. We went and sang that, and I sang. Say amen now, please. I sang Amazing Grace in the Tower of Constance in the south of France. a place where a lady was imprisoned for her faith, and whatever tool she found, she carved the word persevere, okay, in the stone, in the many, many years that she was there until she passed. We were there in that prison, and the little group that we sang an Amazing Grace. I'm telling you guys, I still have goosebumps just thinking about it. I want to jump and shout. Amen? But the world has stolen that. He says, enter with singing. Psalm 68:32, sing unto God, ye kingdom of the earth. O sing praises unto the Lord, Selah. Now, I want to park there for a minute because music is really powerful. And yes, they have stolen our music. The world has stolen the church music and made music something that a tool of the devil. Enter with singing. Psalm 40, verse 1 to 3, David declares that along with salvation came a new song of praise unto the Lord. Never hesitate, by the way, to lift up the songs of the heart unto the Lord. He glorifies him, and I think he desires us to sing to him. For some of us, he even put a passage where I can sing in my heart, so the rest of the world don't have to hear me and be disgruntled, right? Amen? All right, our entrance into his presence. I believe that enter with shouting, making joyful noise. Enter with service. We got to serve with gladness. Enter with singing, that new song. And be careful not to let the singing of the world to take preeminence in our churches and not to for us to receive the glory. It is to him that we do those things. Amen? Entrance. I think we can look also verse number 3 here. Know ye that the Lord is God, it is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Our enlightenment concerning his person, I want to look at every truth we learn from God's word, should be a blessing, should be a gift. You know how some of those ladies buy a bracelet and they can add little charm things on it, whatever they call that? Little things that you can add to it. Or if it's a necklace, every year you can add another piece to it, you know, and so on and so forth. Well, the Word of God is a little bit like that. We should have those rope around our necks, if you would, of the blessings and the gift that God gives us from every truth that we can learn from His Word about His Son, about Himself, about the Spirit of God, about the work that they're doing, about those things, so that we can praise Him. You know, the closest thing, and I don't want to use that, is that rosary that they use. They have those little beads. Or some Hindu thing, they have beads that they count the prayer. It's not the prayer that needs to be counted. It's the gifts that God gives us. It's those truths that he gives us to impart to you and me. And we should be able to count them and re-look at them and just to be able to, hey, God gave me this from his word, and share it. Amen? That which I received first, what did he do with it? Did he keep it for himself? What did God command us? To go in the world and preach the gospel and teach them his commandment. Amen? So we're not saving those gifts for us. The gift is only good if it's received. So once we receive the gift, let's re-gift it. Amen? White elephant gift? It's not white elephant. It's the gem, the nuggets, the gold nuggets that we need to share. Amen? Our enlightenment concerning his person. I think I want to look at a word about his power. There is a word about his power that reminds us the creative power. God created all things. So if he created all things, where is my glory? None. Right? Come on now. We are in this world because the Lord see fit that we are. He made it for us. Amen? And we keep marring it and destroying it and doing things that are contrary to what he's taught us to do. But in the same time, he made it for us. How did he create you and me? In his own image. Wow. Wow. Think about that for a second. I mean, beyond his creative power, there is also his great recreative power. You know, God is not
silly or not knowing, he knows all things. So when he started this whole thing, he knew we were going to walk away. He knew we were going to fall. And so he has prepared a recreative way. He gave his son to die on the cross, to shed his blood, so that you and I would have a way to be recreated, reborn, born again. Amen?
Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 10, "But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me." He is doing it over and over and over and over. It's not you. It's not me. This celebration of 74 years of being here serving is all about him. It's all about God. It's all about Christ. It's all about the Holy Spirit working. So what we can glory in is being willing vessels. And we ought to be thankful that he saw fit to use us. Amen? What an honor. What a privilege that he can take a small baker out of France and call him to preach. Amen? What is your story? What did he call you out of? And how is he going to use you today? A word about his power, a word about his purchase. The psalmist said that we are his people. You know, I'm afraid that some of us are not saying that. I belong to Jesus. Hey, why don't you come over to the party this Sunday? We're going to have pool, we're going to have some beers, we're going to have this, we're going to have that. I can't. I belong to Jesus. I'm not coming to that. Amen? We're ashamed of it. We're refusing to stand for it. And then we wonder why we're not getting blessed. We cannot mingle with the world and their sin and expect the blessings of God. It's not going to work. But if you take a stand, you might not be blessed by the people and the visit of their home and having their beers and swimming in their pools, but you'll be blessed by God. Isn't that what we want? At the end of the day, isn't that what matters really? Amen? Who gave himself for us, the Bible tells us in Titus 2:14, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good work. I wonder, does that describe us today? Peculiar people, zealous unto good works. I know you guys, I've done a tremendous amount of works, good works, throughout the years. You don't have a complete understanding of the impact you guys had on this side of heaven. You won't have the whole picture. Maybe when we're on the other side, we'll have a better picture of the impact of what you guys had with 74 years of ministry to the children, to the community, to the people that came. It's amazing. But here, he gave himself. He says that he gave himself that he might redeem us. Revelation chapter 5, verse 9 has the word redeemed in there. And that word is agorazo. I'll do a little Greek this morning for you. This word literally means to buy in the marketplace. It has the reference to purchase a slave right off the auction block. That is what Jesus did for us when he died on the cross. He paid a full price that we might go free from the penalty of sin. Redemption through his blood. It's not a reason to shout this morning. Are you redeemed? Amen. All right. I got three redeemed. I want a better by the number three. All right. Galatians 5:9 says the word redeem as well there. And it's exagorazo. This word means to take off the market. In other words, Jesus paid a price for us and we're no longer for sale. I love that part. Amen? Because, I mean, in the market of slave, they buy, they sell. Well, we're no longer for sale. Amen? He bought us and he's intending to keep us. Amen? That alone to me, it's just, I want to scream, I want to shout, I want to get on the rooftop and say, redeem, redeem, redeem. Amen? Amen. All right, that's not working. We're going to go to 1 Peter 1:18 and see if we can get something else. Redeemed, the word there is lutron, and this word means to release after the payment of the purchase price. And there is the picture there. Not only he buys us and when he keeps us, but he releases us. Think about that for a moment. He buys us so that he can free us. But the good slave, what do? They want to stay with their master, right? When they have a good master, they want to stay with the master. That's the only time I would tolerate an earring, by the way. Okay, if you're going to have an earring this morning, and that would be that you're saying, hey, I want to stay with my master, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? He's my master. I'm going to be a slave to Jesus. I'm putting an earring to tell the world around that that's what I am and who I am. Amen? Redeem, redeem, redeem. Slave. A slave unto Jesus Christ. Amen? How about a word about his provision? I think we... This verse reminds us that we are his flock, and as such, we're under his protective watch, oversight, if you would, as the good shepherd, right? And he has promised several things that we are to be encouraged this morning and glorify his name for. Number one, I think in Hebrews 13:5, he says, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. That means he's going to be present with us. From the time he's saved, right? He moves in. He's present with us. His presence is a gift, all right? A word about he provide his presence. He provide his peace, John 14:27. Peace I have lived with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth. Give I unto you, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. His peace, he's giving us his peace. He's giving us his provision. Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply all you need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now all these things sums up a wonderful in this word written by David, right? And recorded in the Psalm 23, the psalm that we call... Thank you, Pastor. He is listening. You guys are coming at some point. I hope so. All right. So we've seen so far the entrance into his presence, how we should approach him, if you would. Our enlightenment concerning his person, who he is and what he has done for us already, and what he's given us, his presence, his peace, his provision. All right. And I would like to look at our expression of his praise. Verse 4 and 5 tells us this. Enter into his gate, amen, with thanksgiving, and into his court with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generation. I think this verse gives us more, again, to shout about. Amen? That we can express in praise. It's just how we're going to be able to, with the little time we have, to just shout to him so loud, so clearly, so noticeable. Pastor said something about being... Hey, they should know we're Christians. Should be unmistakable, right? Should be no place for error. You walk in somewhere and they know there's something different. You're peculiar. Amen? Our expression of his praise. Praise should be, I think, visible. Are you with me? The psalmist said that we are to enter his gate and his court with praise. That is in an activity that is done in a corner. I was mumbling with Pastor. None of you heard what I said. And this is not the point. The point is, this has got to be noticeable. We cannot be cowardly, be Christian. We cannot be that silent witness. It does not work. There's no witness of a silent witness. So how can we say it? We said by the clothes we wear. We said by the haircut we have. By the length of our hair. We said by the length of our dresses. We said by the demeanor that we have, the respect of authority, the way we walk, the way we talk, the way we sing, the way we shout, the way we act, should reflect the fact that we are Christian. Oh man, I get it now. I walked them out. All right. Again, praise should be visible. Simply put, there should be no shame attached to our worship of the Lord. Amen? Now, we notice in our passage that we are sending back to Psalm 47 and verse 1, and he says, "Oh, clap your hand, all ye people. Shout unto you God with the voice of triumph."
He didn't say the voice of defeat. He said the voice of triumph.
I don't know about you, but when I fail at something, I'm pretty quiet. But when I achieve at something, I'm pretty vocal. And that's what God says. We're already on the side of the winner. We have already had victory in Christ. We're already triumphant in Jesus Christ. Amen? And so he wants us to come. And this clapping, like I explained to you earlier, the clapping described in the Bible is almost like, let me see. You remember some of the historic movie that you might have been watched about the Roman army? How did they respond when the emperor walked on the scene and they would literally worship that guy? They would not shout. They would take their fist and hit their chest very loudly one time. That was their clapping. This is the clapping that God is talking about. That kind of noise that you make as a respect. They found a way to demonstrate that to their emperor. And God says, that's the type of clapping that he's looking for. Not the clapping of, ooh, well done, you guys. No, no. That one tap, one sound, unify, uniform in the church. What they do, they stamp their chest loudly as a respect to them. And then after that, and only after that, would they raise their hand in the command of their salute that they did. And God is the same. He's looking for that same respect, that same shout, that same clapping, if you would. That's the description that I get out of that. Oh, clap your hands, all ye people. As a whole group, they would come and clap to him. A one loud clap to him. Amen? That's not what we see today, is it? How about the lifting of hands? Psalm 63:4 says, "Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name." Lift up your hands, he says in Psalm 134, in the sanctuary, and bless the Lord. When the hands were lifted toward the heaven, it was a sign of adoration and praise. It was symbolic of lifting up the Lord and glorify him. This is what it talked about. Lifting your hand in praise to him. From time to time, somebody will say something from the pulpit that resonates with my heart. A song might touch me in a way that I will acknowledge my God, my Savior, being the reason for what is going on. Not the person who's singing, not the preacher who's speaking. His word touching me where I need to be touched and reminded that he and he alone is the reason. Yes, put your hand up when that's the case, when it's your heart that is needed to him and you want to acknowledge him to be the reason for it. Amen? There's a story about Billy Bray, an old preacher, an old sinner that got saved by his grace. Billy used to praise the Lord everywhere he went. Once he was praising the Lord, as he usually did, but someone came up to him and told him, "Hey, buddy, you need to tone it down a little bit. You are a pastor, after all." They say it wasn't proper for a preacher to be shouting all the time. So Billy Bray responded by saying, "I can't help myself. You see, I put down my right foot, and it says, hallelujah. I put down my left foot, and it says, amen." And with that, he marched on down the street, shouting a chorus of hallelujahs and amen. When I got saved in Connecticut, speak about stoic and not amen a lot, amen. I lived there for many years, so I can say that. And the maniacs are not here. They're not returned yet. Our maniac's friend, the people from Men, Erica's parents. They're not here, right? I don't see them. Anyway, when I got saved early on, the first, the gentleman that led me to the Lord was somebody that would amen. You amen a little bit this morning, he would have beat you. I mean, and he sat right there on the front pew. So the first time he took me to church after I got saved, I went and sat next to him, right? And man, every word, every sentence, I mean, it was good. It was not done inappropriately, but it was loud, and I was a new Christian, and so I picked on that, and I was like, okay, if you say amen, maybe I say amen, right? And this and that. And so people start coming to me and say, you want to stay away from Brother Danny? I'm like, why? What's going on? And so they tried to tone me down. We went out soul winning, and the first few doors that the gentleman that took me out soul winning, you know, you go out, knock the door, he did all the talking, and I listened, and I learned. And then after two or three doors, he turns around and he says, it's your turn. So I knock at the door, and the first door, man, he came back, slam, blah, right in my face. I haven't even had a chance. I'm from. Boom, the door came back. They laughed, they rejoiced that one more of us was out there winning souls, was out there witnessing. But then we come back to church and they say, oh, you need to tone it down. It's soul winning business. You know, door to door, that's so old fashioned. That doesn't really bring anybody. See where I'm going with this? See what happened? See what's going on? We start maybe with maybe the praise, but then after that, it toned down the service, and then toned down this, and then toned down that. Why? If you're happy in Jesus, clap your hands, sing, jump, shout, say it loud, say it proud. Don't be ashamed. He gave you 74 beautiful years here. But if we let the world rob us of what he gave us, we ain't going to make it another 74 years. We're going to be absorbed by the world. We're going to be taken down. We're going to tone down our worship. We're going to tone down our praises. We're going to tone down everything, including our witnessing. That's not what he wants. What did he say? Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye land. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is that made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter in his gate with thanksgiving and into his courts with praises. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generation. May God receive the glory that he deserves. Let us be what is described right here. And let not the world rob you of your joy, of your praise, and of your service. Amen. Father in heaven, we come before you today. We want to thank you, Lord, for a time that we can open your word and see what you want from us, Lord. We appreciate. We are so honored. We're so delighted for the years that you have given, for the time you have invested in this place, and for the response you have got, Lord. People that are rejoicing, people that are serving, people that are glad to serve. And you have built a ministry here that is phenomenal. We thank you for that. We want to extol you. We want to put you above all and give you thanks and praise and worship you this morning. Wow, what a work you have accomplished here. Father, help us this morning. Do not let the world rob us of who we are for thee. Would you work in our heart this morning? Where have we toned down? In our praise, in our singing, in our service? Would you work this morning, dear God? We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.